屁，不敢跟我屁的。哦，噜噜咕噜咕噜，阿噜噜噜咕噜咕噜，噜噜咕噜咕噜。I be number three. I be number three. I'm a mama, mama, mama. I be number three. Bye.
Welcome back to a brand new episode of Hot Marriage, Cool Parents.
Hey, hey, hey.
We have my beautiful wife, Jamie, back.
I'm back. I am nauseous AF as usual.
Yeah, Jamie's like, taking a couple weeks off.
Yeah, I'm telling you, thank you so much for cover, like holding the fort down for me. Doug has been so helpful with the kids and with cleaning and things like that, because I could just sleep all day. And if I don't sleep all day, then I'm sick all day.
It's only because
like if I'm out of bed, I'm sick. And if I'm in bed, I feel okay.
Yeah, well, you're.
But then I'm like non-functional all the time.
Yeah, but you do everything. So it's understandable that you sleep.
Thank you.
You need it.
Yeah, I am growing two babies as of right now.
And you're holding everything down. Yeah. I mean, you're funding this whole parade.
Oh, well, you know. Yeah. We don't talk about that. It's a little strange.
Well, no, I mean, it's not strange in the sense that, you know, I'm a stay-at-home dad. I mean, yes, we do podcasts and stuff.
You do help a lot, Doug.
Yeah. But I mean, it's really you that carries a lot of that weight.
I just have an entrepreneur type mindset and I enjoy being an entrepreneur. And
we found out it's kind of from your dad's side.
Yeah, but I feel like my mom must have a little bit of it in her because my sisters are kind of becoming entrepreneurs too. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know, I think anyone can be an entrepreneur, especially in good old America. But what I was going to say is that we are 12 weeks pregnant. And so we're on our very last week of the first trimester. Can we get a hooray? Like, where's that clapping? Wait, nope, that's not it.
Nope.
No, that's definitely not it. Nope.
Oh, come on.
There we go. Oh, my gosh.
12 weeks.
The end of the first trimester, and I couldn't be more thankful, A, that we made it, because I'm the first to know that not all of the miscarriages happen in the first trimester, but the majority do happen, and so that feels good that we're making it past, and we're not there yet, but we are making it past the first trimester, and also, like, the second trimester is when you get your wind, and hopefully the nausea subsides.
Can I say that? The doctor visit wasn't
not encouraging.
Wasn't encouraging, to say the least.
And neither are some.
I mean, they were like, yeah. So you're gonna have some symptoms for the first trimester, but with twins, it could go on the whole time.
Yeah,
and I'm like, very encouraging.
But you know, honestly, I sometimes, like the other day, I was like, I think I've turned a corner. And then today I threw up. So, you know, like, it's like, and that every time I say, I think I turned a corner, I'm like, don't say it, Jamie, because you're going to throw up like this week. That's what happens. And so, you know, so today was just a day of throwing up and feeling sick.
Let me set the stage for it. So I get up with the kids, and last night was we have friends down that, and we
not just
had
any
friends,
like one of my very, very best friends, and such a great story how we met, because she actually worked with me, and then like
she worked the podcast in the beginning.
So Diana, you all know probably Diana, and she worked with me for many, many years, and it was always remote. It was not like I ever even really met her, and then she began working with me even more, and we finally met. And then we just became like best friends, and there's just nothing better than being like just having like a work wife kind of thing. And she was definitely like my work wife, and now she's a stay at home mommy, and I'm so proud of her. And
we've been trying to model every assistant after her.
Yeah, and now she's like a sister. Like she was a unicorn. I just say that all the time. Yeah. Like she could just do everything. Like way back when we first started this podcast, I hired Diana. Actually, she started working with me even before that. I had a jewelry line. I still do have a jewelry line, and she was helping me. She was like, "Do you need help?" She ordered pieces, and she was like, "Do you need help with that?" And I was like, oh yeah, because I said, oh, I can't get your order out because you know, I was busy doing, I think I was working as a nurse as well. And so she was like, well, do you need help with anything? And I was like, do I need help? Yes, I do. And I remember saying to Doug, I'm giving her my website access. And he was like, are you sure you're going to do that to someone you barely even know? I'm like, honestly, if she took it and destroyed it, I don't even care. Cause like I was that busy and overwhelmed with all the things that I had planned. That's what entrepreneurs are like, you just take on big businesses, ideas.
Especially in the beginning.
Yeah. And so then she never did destroy a thing, and she became the most trustworthy person in my life. And we became best friends, turned to like sisters, and it's just they're down. Yeah. And
she's she just had a baby too.
Yes, and we're very excited that they're down.
But yeah, so we were up late
hanging out with them.
Normally, they just got in. Normally I'll wake up with the kids and get them ready. And this morning they had a late night too. So this morning they woke up a little bit groggy. Now Henley and Hendrix are sleeping in the same room now. We finally got Hendrix out of a pack and play, which is crazy.
That's really big news. Is this the button? Nope, that's not it. nope, that's not it.
It's a yellow.
Hendrix is out of the playpen. I mean, he has been sleeping in this playpen. I don't know if you know this or not.
He chooses to.
Yeah. Like, we moved into our new house back almost a year ago, and we set the crib apart, like his crib, because we were like, okay, well, now, you know, he could probably be like in a big boy bed.
He could jump out of a crib.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
And so we were like, I, even though I don't mind him sleeping in the crib, I think it's safe and fine. But I was like, well, there's no point of resetting the crib up because he was three. I think he had just turned three at the time. And I was like, you know, there's no point in setting the crib up. I'll just, you know, I got him a bunk bed set. And then I was like, he could sleep either on the top or the bottom. That'll make it fun. And he just wanted the playpen. And so we put him in the playpen. We thought it would last like a day or two. It lasted almost a year. And so he turns four in 1 month, and the boy is just getting out of a playpen. But we don't care, of course.
Because I mean, he's been getting out anyway and coming into our room, but I think ever since he got in the bunk bed and Henley sleeping on the top bunk, he's been sleeping better. But so I get them up, and when you try to normally I'll get Henley up first because Henley won't run away from me to go to sleep or go to mommy.
Yeah.
So I'll get her up first. I'll usually have her clothes. I'll just say, Henley, time to get up, get your clothes on. And then I'll go wake up Hendrix. Now I went to go wake up Hendrix and Henley. And so I went to Hendrix and Hendrix was like, stop. I'll get my own clothes. And the dude walked right next to the drawers and then booked it out the door. And I know like Jamie's sleeping and I want her to get her rest because I mean, it's no secret that's why you sometimes get sick if you don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
So Hendrix, I've never seen him run this fast. I was trying to run through the kitchen, through the little
formal dining area.
And he bursts through the door and Jamie jumps out of bed.
Yeah. Well,
and
he's
like,
crying.
And I'm trying to grab him like, Hendrix, no. And I grab him and I pull him out. And then Hendrix like screams bloody murder.
Mommy.
And then Jamie gets up and he kind of settles down. And,
yeah. I hug him and like help him calm down. And then
you know,
of course
for so long, I mean, and I feel like this happens to a lot of dudes. You always imagine having a boy. And then, you know, playing catch or whatever, you know, but as that boy grows up, begins to crawl, then walk, then talk, they are all about their moms. And so this was just another example of him outsmarting me and running into our bedroom to wake up Jamie. And then after Jamie, you know, came in and everything, we left the house, got out of the house. And then Jamie
told me
she threw up.
Yeah. I went to take, I have hypothyroidism. This is probably TMI, but like, so I take a thyroid medicine. This is the problem with first trimester. If anyone has hypothyroidism, my heart goes out to you with pregnancy because you have to have your thyroid medicine on an empty stomach or else it's not effective. And if your thyroid medicine isn't effective, I mean, it's even worse. I mean, you really need your thyroid medicine in order to function. And so I take my medicine on an empty stomach and it didn't even touch my gag reflex. I don't even know what happened. I'm like, I had water. Water touched my gag reflex. I didn't even taste the medicine or anything. And instantaneously, I almost threw up on our bed. Like it came right into my mouth. I'm like trying to hold it in my mouth so that I'm not throwing up as I'm like running to the bathroom. And I try to like plug the sink and like throw open the sink so I can see if my medicine, because it's always my medicine that I'm throwing up.
Yeah.
And so, because that's like the first thing I'm having and it's on an empty stomach. And anyways, so, you know, a lot of women are like, oh, just have crackers on your bedside. And I'm like, I wish I could, but then my medicine wouldn't work. And then I would be even worse off. So anyways, so then after I throw up, it's like the nausea just doesn't subside. Like, you know how sometimes you throw up and you feel better?
You feel better, yeah.
I mean, I do feel better for like a hot minute, but then like it's just that nausea feeling like all effing day, and you just can't let it go. But anyways,
that's rough.
We're super pumped because we're gearing up for a gender reveal party this weekend.
Yes. Before we talk about that though, I do want to give a 5-star review shout out to Florida Girl 1116. And Jamie, do you want to read this one?
Yeah. Says Jamie, I wanted to start out by saying congratulations on the pregnancy. I too have been trying to conceive for 3+ years. I went through laparoscopic surgery to try to get pregnant. My OB,
I've never heard of that one.
I'm wondering, I'm not exactly sure either. She may have had laparoscopic surgery. Sometimes they, like, if your tubes are blocked or something, they'll try to like do something to help you out, but I'm not sure what she had done.
Okay.
But anyways, where was I at?
My OB.
My OB, where is that, Doug? My OB sent me to the fertility specialist, and my husband and I both started the beginning steps. We were about to start the IVF, but we're having a hard time coming up with the funds. Oh, I get that. IVF is so expensive, which is why we haven't renovated our house or even furnished it. Cause I was like,
we thought we might have to.
Yeah. I thought we were going to take the money that we save for renovations and maybe just use that for IVF because I'd rather have my family than like a fancy home or a renovated home. But anyways, so I get you there, the girl. But anyways, my family went on vacation the third week of January and I was already late on my cycle. I thought it was just another abnormal cycle and decided to take a pregnancy test. Surprise, I am also pregnant. I am due in August. I also have parents that have struggled with addiction and can relate to your story in so many ways. Your podcast is so easy to relate to and can't wait to hear it every week. This is by far my favorite podcast. Oh, Florida Girl, thank you so much for that. We do have a lot in common then. Like, it sounds like pretty much everything. Congratulations,
yes,
though.
Yes, congratulations.
That's amazing. And you know what's so cool?
It'll be 2 months before us.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. Actually, August. Dang. Oh, my gosh. That is so funny.
Why?
Because Diana's sister-in-law is pregnant, and she's due in August, and I was talking to them, and I was like, oh, yeah, it's only 2 weeks. Oh, my gosh. It's... I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyways, that's pretty exciting. And it's so interesting. I love hearing these stories of people who are just finding out they're pregnant because, you know, they just weren't expecting you or whatever. And so then they find out. People usually do find out when they're like at least two months or, you know, 3 months along or so. But I found out at like literally 3.5 weeks because we were trying, like I was just taking test after test all the time. So we have known, this pregnancy has already lasted like a decade.
Yeah.
We've known about it for a really long time.
The first trimester forever.
Yes. But we're getting there. So yeah, but we are gearing up. This is one thing everyone's like, do you have any idea what the gender might be? Do you have any names picked out? Do you like all these questions? And I'm like, honestly, I feel like I just have to know that the gender, like I have to actually know, like not just like guess. And then I can start, like I haven't bought any clothes even myself. Like I haven't.
We wanted to make sure it was real.
Yeah, that too.
In the beginning.
Yeah. And once we started, like even the ultrasound didn't even feel real enough because I've had ultrasounds in the past that then turned out to not like be. So like, and that didn't even feel real enough at first, but then when we were at our most recent ultrasound and we saw the babies moving inside
and heartbeats,
well,
like
that was like, wow, we are really pregnant with twins. Yeah. Like there's two in there. We saw moving, like,
yeah, they were both bouncing.
This is really happening. Yeah. And the high-risk doctor said everything's good with both of them. Like we're having twins, like, holy crap, buckle up. This is happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this weekend, Saturday, is the gender reveal. And so those who follow me and subscribe to my Instagram, that I invited them to join us live on.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to have like it set up live for everyone who subscribes to my Instagram. And
then we'll put out the video.
Afterwards. And as you know, we are YouTubing this whole entire journey. We're so excited to be YouTubing because, you know, for the longest time, I always did everything on Instagram. I just enjoy that platform a lot. It's really easy to use and it's fun to be on and engage and stuff. But the problem is that it goes away. Like after you post stories, they go away in 24 hours. And so I was like, I lost a lot of like just cherished memories with Henley because I would pull out Instagram and I would record it on Instagram and then it would just disappear. And so that's really sad to me.
And we were filming for a lot of it too. So it's not like we took a lot of footage.
Yeah. And so unfortunately that was really sad to me. And so then with Hendrix, I didn't really catch on. I didn't really like, it was just kind of all in the same time frame. And now that it's like past the 2-year mark and it's not even archived on Instagram and I just straight up lost it, I'm like, that is devastating. And so I'm like, why am I doing, like, I've got to switch this up. And I still am on Instagram every single day, you know, because I'm always there. I love Instagram. But now we're sharing more of like in-depth long form content on YouTube and like the big things on YouTube that I would want to be able to really remember. Like if it's like my hemorrhoids or something on, like that can disappear in 24 yeah, hours. I don't need to see that again in 2 years or 5 years. But, you know, like a gender reveal, I would seriously.
The first
I would,
ultrasound.
Yeah, like these things I would usually share on Instagram. And it's
gender
like
gender predictions.
They just like kind of get lost in the shuffle or they just disappear if it's on stories. And so now we're like, no, we're going to do this on YouTube where it's very easy to find. Like you can even organize the content and it's very easy to find it.
This year is a little different because we're away from family. And yeah. None of our family is going to be able to make it.
Yeah, that is kind of sad.
Which it is sad in a way, but there's also a lot of comfort in the fact that we have friends now that are coming. Like we have a lot of people that are coming.
Yeah, there's and a lot of
and
people
it's
there.
People that we would want to invite and people that would want to be there and are excited to be there. And like we've really built it, like and came into a community, which, you know, which was everything that we were just really hoping
really
for
hoping
and
praying for.
And, you know, we're having a lot of great people there. And
yeah.
As much as sad as it is that our families can't be there, on the other hand, it's still going to be great because we have people that we really enjoy being around.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, and how I feel honestly about Diana is like I genuinely feel like she's like a sister. Like I trust my kids with her. I don't trust my kids with like almost anybody really. Like I'm really every mom is a little particular about their kids and what adults they're hanging out with and what families. And I trust her like a sister, like I genuinely do. And that's the best thing about life, that if you can, like, there was a point that I was, you know, very depressed and very isolated and very not open, I guess, to like having relationships with people other than just my family, because family's family. And it took a therapist really being like, sometimes family's toxic. And even though that's like your God-given family, maybe you want to step outside that a little bit and seek out like healthy relationships.
I think that we weren't good for each other in that sense, because that was at a time where I didn't care to go out, hang out with friends, make plans.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
I was just in just my own little world. And I think once COVID hit, everything just sort of just got sucked into the normalcy of just being almost like just confined to a certain space with us. And, you know, but thankfully we've broken out of that shell.
Yeah, no, I really honestly credit like going to church and Jesus and like just, I don't know, like, I'm not even sure what it's been, but like we've really, I think, had a little bit of depression, both of us, and now we're out of it. So that feels good. But yeah, so this
weekend. Did you want to tell them what we're doing for the gender reveal?
Yeah, so Ruth, who you probably know, she has been working with me for about a year now, actually a little over a year now, and she's become like, you know, kind of like family as well. I mean, people who work with me, like we're just like so close.
It's a very intimate position.
It is a very intimate. I mean, I just talk to them all day, every day, and you quickly realize whether or not it's going to pan out or not. Like, at least I realize, like whoever it is that I hire, like I'll see like a red flag and I'm like, oh, maybe this person actually isn't for the role, or, you know, or maybe they are. But anyways, Ruth's been great. And her husband is she's incredibly crafty. If you saw like our playroom that she painted, you would be like, I mean,
she loves that.
She just loves crafts. I mean, she just can create anything out of like anything, like something out of anything.
Really awesome.
And her husband had like leftover wood that he had from he like kind of rebuilt their fireplace. And so he's making a tic-tac-toe board, and the kids, Henley and Hendrix, are going to play tic-tac-toe. And it's eventually going to come out like either like all girls in a row or all boys in a row. And then for the gender reveal, and the interesting thing with twins.
What if it's a tie?
Well, that's the thing, is there won't be a tie because there's only one gender. So
no, I know, but I mean, you can tie in tic-tac-toe.
Well, you can't. It won't be like that though, because they'll take a piece of paper away essentially that will say girl, and then they'll just take another piece of paper away that will say boy.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so eventually there's going to be three in a row at some point, and like it'll say either boy or girl.
Gotcha.
And the interesting thing about that is that with twins, obviously there's two in there, so you want there's two genders, and so I did the sneak peek test, and they only can identify like one of the babies or like
the male gene is dominant.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
It's dominant.
Because they can identify both if they're girls and it would just say girl. But if there's even just one boy in there, it's going to come back as boy.
So my, and because I've been reading a lot of the messages with this sneak peek thing. Yeah. And if you follow Jamie, you saw her do the whole sneak peek thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the whole thing and the messages that I've been seeing was people saying, tell your husband not to even breathe in the room. Don't even touch the packaging.
Yeah.
Because it can skew the results.
Yeah.
If it's a boy, there's even more mystery around it.
Yeah. Then we're going to have another gender reveal.
If it's girl, it's definitely two girls. If it's a boy, it could be boy, girl, boy, boy, or it could be a result that is just
skewed because
up.
My husband touched it, but I didn't let him touch it.
I didn't touch anything, but it was done in our bedroom. So if it,
oh, that's true. Know. But I like wiped my nightstand down. I tried being as like thorough and as clean as possible. So hopefully it's accurate. Could you imagine if it said boy and then there's actually two girls?
Yeah,
I would be like, what?
But on YouTube, so we have our gender prediction video. So we did a bunch of home gender prediction.
I was so sick.
Jamie was super nauseous.
I could barely even function.
You're a trooper. Going through that, but that's a fun video. But you know, depending on when you're listening to this, we're going to be having our gender reveal coming up this weekend, and then we're going to be putting out the video on Monday. So it's going to be really exciting. And another exciting announcement is Doug and Jamie and Doug are back on the Married at First Sight universe. Well, actually, let's stop right here because I do want to give a quick thanks to our friends over at Honey Love. Now, Honey Love has been Jamie's go-to shapewear anytime she gets dressed up. She even wore it on the special, the cast tell-all special that we're going to be on for Married at First Sight, which you can actually watch on April 3rd. But I know she got the queen brief, and I know that because I do the packing whenever we go away. So that's the shapewear that she loves. It has the compression areas, and it compresses areas that need more support. It doesn't sacrifice women's natural curves, which I absolutely love. The best part is, and what Jamie raves about, is that they have this flexible boning in the side seams, which makes it so it doesn't roll up or down, so you don't have to adjust yourself all the time. And there's no struggle in taking this shapewear off. I know Jamie used to wrestle with her shapewear anytime she needed to get out. You won't have any of that. And because shapewear shouldn't be hard. Honey Love products make you look good, feel good, whether it's for a wedding, event, or an everyday boost of confidence. Honey Love should be your number one, and you can treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market. Go and save 20% off at honeylove.com/HMCP. You can use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/HMCP. And after you purchase, if they happen to ask where you heard about them, you could tell them we sent you. So shape your life with Honey Love. Go to honeylove.com/HMCP. That's HONEYLOVE.com/HMCP. Okay, let's get back to it.
Yeah, we never really left.
I know.
I don't think.
It's been a while since, I've been excited to say that we were on a special on Lifetime.
Yeah, we're back on Lifetime.
Because it's been a while. Yeah. I feel like it was so long ago that we
shot couples cam and things like that. Honestly,
even just this for the special.
Yeah, that's true too. There's a lot of couples now.
So it's going to be April 3rd, which is when the special's airing. And I love doing the specials because you get to meet new cast members.
Yeah.
And one of the cast members that I really enjoyed talking to, and I was really surprised that I got along with, was Aris.
Oh, I like Aris too. He's very cool.
Such a cool, down-to-earth dude. Very laid back and just such a good vibe from that guy.
And I like Stasha too.
Yeah.
She was really cool. We sat next to Aris and Stasha and it was just,
it's going to be a good,
it was fun talking to them about the season, because this season has really been like a train wreck of all train wrecks.
Let's call it for what it is. It was a pretty shit show.
Yeah. It's been something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, like, that's the thing with Married at First Sight, is even when it's a train wreck, you can't peel your eyes away because you're like, what's going to happen next? Like, where does it go from here, kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, ever since we started doing these recaps this year, I've said it almost every time. And this last decision day and the aftermath of decision day, except for Chloe and Michael, because they haven't gone yet, but it really reiterates and solidifies in my head that it is not, I don't think it's productive to let the cast hang out together.
I said the same thing.
I don't think it's productive at all because just that last little gathering or you know, get together, it just got so juvenile, girls versus guys, and you said this and you said this. And,
yeah.
My overall take from this season was the cast, the experts, the show, they put on people that cared so much about how they were going to look on TV that they skewed themselves.
But that's the thing is, I genuinely don't believe the experts can know that about someone.
No, you're right.
And
you're right.
The producers, they wouldn't even want to put someone on like that. Like that's certainly not their goal,
but
you know?
Every single couple, even down to Claire and Cameron, said that they were keeping stuff back to not be aired on TV.
Which
they were holding back. They were erasing diary cam footage, which is just so ridiculous.
I just don't get that because it's like, first of all, and this is what it comes down to, in my opinion, is not being comfortable with yourself and not being comfortable with the fact or knowing in your heart that everybody looks like a doofus sometimes. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes mistakes sometimes. Everybody's a jerk sometimes. Yeah. Everyone's in the wrong. Everyone needs to apologize sometimes. Who cares if it's on national television or not? Like, I feel like a bigger person, a more noble person is someone that makes a huge darn mistake on national television and then is willing and able
to own it. And that's
it's kind of
is,
like, I hate to
is.
Say it, but like, you know, when Ashley Simpson, you might not know, but like for those of you listening, if you're like in my era here, when Ashley Simpson lip synced and then just like melted away from stage and then kind of never reappeared ever again. Cause she made a really big mistake. And how many artists lip sync? A ton of them do. Mm-hmm. And how many get caught? Not as many, but Ashley Simpson got caught. And instead of owning it and just keeping on going, she let her sink in shame. And it's like, girl, I wish I could have been her friend. I would have been like, don't let that sink you. Like, you have talent and you're amazing. Like, how many artists lip sync all the time? They just don't get caught. Like, go on an SNL, make a skit about yourself, laugh about it, and then keep going, girl. Like, don't let that slow you down.
But the perfect example is Austin and Becca, because clearly Austin was scared of what he was going to look like on TV. But the problem that came up was Austin would be one person on camera and a totally different person off camera. And then he's asking Becca to trust him.
Honestly,
to trust that his, you know, everything he's saying on camera is him. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You cannot have it both ways.
But I got to tell you, this couple's been just very frustrating because, you know, in the beginning I was frustrated for Becca with Austin. And then towards the end, I'm like, I could see how he got frustrated with her even. And so it's just kind of like that couple has just been frustrating for me, like inside and out. Both of them have been frustrating at different times.
But just a quick recap, just because I don't want to spend time, a lot of time on this frustrating
also,
season.
Also, I can see our son peeking around. Yeah, he snuck out of bed.
He's got Hendrix, go back to bed.
Hendrix Douglas, you go to night right now.
Yeah. So we had the decision day, and as predicted, I think I predicted it, maybe. Becca and Austin were the only ones that said yes on decision day.
I think, but I predicted it. You said no one was going to stay together.
Oh, yeah,
I might have said that. Look at you taking credit.
Well, yeah, now I don't remember. But that didn't last. It didn't last long, and I mean, here's a spoiler alert if anybody hasn't watched the end
of the
season.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Already.
We should probably have a spoiler alert on there.
You know,
we should have had that like 10 minutes ago. But at this point, the episode is like, I think it's fair that we talk about it.
I don't know how genuine it was, but something that kind of threw me off, but was kind of a positive, was when Brendan and Emily got together. You know, it was really, really crummy of him to say that he was holding back, trying to protect her from his words or what he would say, which is such a
honestly,
cop-out.
Brennan, I just can't even get behind. I have, like, no patience.
But when he got with the experts and they sat together, he apologized. And he recognized some of the things that he said and did. He wasn't as genuine. But I got to say that Emily is one of the strongest females other than Lauren on the cast.
Oh, yeah.
Because she took it and took it and took it this entire season and tried to make the best of it, tried to work through things. She was the only one trying in the relationship, and she got out everything she needed to get out on Brennan. I mean, she went off on him.
I was proud of her for finally speaking up. finally speaking up.
You know, and yeah, I really hope Brendan watches it back, watches the whole season back, and is, you know, kind of just reflective on it, because you can grow from this process.
Yeah, that's exactly it too. And, you know, I'm honestly for all of them, because they are all so concerned about their image and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, I just wish that they could go back and watch it and be like, dang, I like, sometimes when you're more concerned about your image and even in real life without a camera following you, and you're just so focused on trying to have like a good face, you end up showing your worst self because you're stressed, yeah, you're anxious, you're overthinking, rather than if you're just be yourself, and the people who love you will gravitate towards you, and the people who aren't into you and they're just not your people, it'll repel them, but that's okay. You don't want them in your life anyways, yeah, you know?
And I think the weirdest part about the final episode was finding out that Chloe and Michael went to a sex shop, and Chloe was like all for it. I mean, she has toys on her bedside. The weirdest thing for me though was that they got a fake woman part, a fake vagina, and it had headphones.
What?
Yeah, it had headphones. Why? I don't know.
That's
it. Had headphones, but it did lead to them. I feel like they're the only couple that has consummated their marriage this season. That finally happened.
I'm just like, they are so confusing to me.
I know. No more confusing though than Claire and Cameron, who had nothing but nice things to say about each other. But this brings me to my point, that get together that they had around the fire after everyone said their piece, after after Austin was called out by
Becca
about meeting up with a producer who was obviously the crutch in their relationship, the person that, you know, it's very intimate when you get with your producers. You know, they're assigned to you as a couple, maybe another couple because there's more. But, you know, when things are struggling, you can kind of you confide, and you have these hours long therapy sessions, yeah, with your producers that are kind of like one-on-ones, and
which they're not therapists,
but they're not. But you can tell that Becca was just over
very
it,
jealous.
And you know, right after they said "I do," they want to give it a shot without the cameras, because the cameras were the things that were holding them back. She couldn't trust that Austin was being, you know, true and truthful and upfront. Because he didn't act like that off camera. And then to find out like a day later, he meets up with the producer and then lies about it. And just like, she goes, yeah, did you go out? And Austin's just like, yeah. She goes, did you hang out with anybody? He goes, yeah, there were people there.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
And that's just like screaming guilty, but it's like.
But, and so that whole thing, you know, Claire and Cameron had this, this mutual sort of respect, goodbye, you know, like we're, you know, I see you as a sister and a family
honestly,
member.
But I feel like they could totally be like, they are a great match, really. Yeah. Like those, I don't think the experts had anything wrong with this match,
but this
I just
is
think
where
they are in their own head.
Yeah. This is where Claire turned me off though, because that get together and that gather around, you know, Claire was the instigator of, you know, this whole guy versus girl thing.
You know, what's funny is I was, you know, I obviously always follow Married at First Sight on Instagram, and a lot of people comment that she is just like a manipulator.
Yeah.
And that she's like manipulated.
She pushed for that. And then what happened though was, and I never thought that I could see Cameron getting like really pissed off. And, you know, once Claire started saying, you know, you guys are trying to silence us and not say anything. And this is, you know, because everybody was talking about, we don't want to hurt you on camera. We don't want to talk about this on camera. But then, you know, she pushed Cameron over the edge where he was just like, I've never effing silenced you. I've listened to you, and you've told me to not say things on camera, and I've respected you for that. And it is BS that you can sit here and tell me that I'm trying to silence you. That is completely false.
Good for Cameron.
And he got heated, and it seemed really genuine, because, you know, I don't see him as someone that, especially with a heart condition.
Yeah.
That he would get like that.
He wasn't like the drama type. He's definitely not the, I mean, I don't think like Austin is either. I think Austin's trying so hard like to steer clear of it. Like, I don't know what's going on with the producer or whatever, but like, he's not really a drama type either. I don't think he was telling Becca, I can't see Becca being silenced by Austin. Like, could
no,
you?
No.
Like, he's I mean, I'm not saying he's like Mr. Perfect or anything, no. but I can't picture him silencing someone.
But I think it was like, you know, respectfully, don't say this about me or don't talk about this thing that happened. And, you know, Cameron even said afterwards, he's like, I've tried to not protect Claire, but, you know, I've listened to Claire and not said things that, that we've done because she asked me not to say things out in public. And she's starting to like text and everything. And Cameron goes, I guarantee the texts on my phone are her telling me to not say the things that I told him not to say. Like, it was just, it's
and
like,
was it, did he show that that was actually
no,
her?
But he revealed that she wants him to keep certain information, you know, from getting out. And that's that there. I think we need to get away from the couples getting together because yeah. if now imagine you're Chloe and Michael
and, you and you're trying to have left. A relationship.
You have 2 weeks left and you're sitting there just watching
all of this disaster happen. Yeah. And they were all married like the same way you were like married.
Quietly walk yourself through yeah. a bush and then out of the entire yeah. conversation.
That reminds me of Chris and Nicole from, I can't remember what season, but they were like, you know, they're pretty smitten and happy with each other. But I mean, it takes two real strong people to be able to talk.
This kid.
Hendrix. Yeah, we got to go. Hendrix has to go to bed. Mm-hmm. This boy is just sneaking in left yeah. and right. If you hear rumbling in the background, it's my son sneaking yeah. in to the podcast.
But I think that, I think Married at First Sight, Married.
It's a shite show.
Oh, God. I'm tired, and that's a Freudian slip. Married at First Sight, I think, should try
to sneak to get to away go, back to like the
to
original.
Go back to some of the yeah. you know initial things that kind of sparked relationships.
Yeah.
I think they should shy away from having them honeymoon together.
Do everything together.
I don't think the couples grow. You don't allow the couples to grow themselves and build their lives because now they're involved
they're
in everybody else's relationship.
Comparing their relationship. They're jealous of you, others, insecure helpful. Of others. Even if they are yeah. the strongest in the relationship, then they have the pressure to remain the strongest. And then when they're not, then they're like, oh, well, then we're just going to end up like, yeah. there's just constant comparison. And how could there not be married like the same exact day?
I want to know why they changed it up.
Like, I think it's like, also quite interesting. And as a matter of fact, I always thought it would have been nice if we got to hang out with the other couples. But now that I've seen it, how it unfolds.
I wouldn't have wanted that.
Yeah, you've never wanted it. But Derek, we got to wrap this up because yeah, our son,
I would have
go.
Wanted our own relationship.
Yeah.
And our own thing. But so
Hendrix Douglas.
The way that Married at First Sight left off, and this is the last thing that I'll say, is which I think is going to be a complete deal breaker. Chloe dropped a bomb on Michael saying that she wants to foster 5 kids at once.
Why'd she say that? Is she trying to push him away?
That's what I thought. I think they were talking about plans afterwards, and she always wanted to be a foster parent. And I hope I'm not misspeaking. Maybe she said five. I don't think she said she meant 5 dogs. I think she meant like 5 kids, like would want to foster 5 kids at once. And that made Michael step back. And, you know, I think he was trying to be nice, yeah. but I don't think it's fair to have a bomb like that dropped. If that's the first time that she's bringing that up, I don't think that's fair to drop that on camera
and
kind of put him in that position. But I think that's going to be a deal breaker. I thought that they might have a chance.
All right, Doug, yeah. let's wrap this up. I love Married at First Sight and love talking yes. about it, but our son needs to go to bed. And
yeah.
he just snuck back in here. You can probably hear him rumbling around in the room. He's like, he's trying to be a spy.
Well, thank you. We love you. And God bless.
And next time, next episode, we'll be talking about the gender of our babies.
Well, either one both or both. Well,
yeah, we're not sure. But we love you. Thank you so much for all your 5-star reviews. We really appreciate yes. those. And thanks for listening every single week. We adore you.
Goodbye.
We'll see you in a week. Bye.